Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're learning about the Holy Spirit tonight is his work of inspiration. Now, you could also use this verse with the doctrine of inspiration. But as you compare scripture to scripture, you could use a lot of verses for these. But let's look tonight at John chapter 14 and verse 26. That's what the message is on tonight. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit, work of inspiration. Work of inspiration. Now, there is a context here that I'm going to be looking at the verses around verse 26. And Jesus has announced to his disciples in chapter 13 and verse 33 that he is leaving. But the disciples see his leaving only from their perspective. They're sad, they're discouraged, but Jesus wants them to see his leaving from his perspective. As you see in John 14, 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Peter, Matthew, John, see it from my perspective. I go to my Father. See it from my perspective. And so we see that Jesus says in just a couple of verses before that, the verse that you see, John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm going away. But he says in chapter 16, it is advantageous for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's best for you if I go away. Think about that. We are today living in what is best for Jesus not to be here in person, but in spirit. Every believer has in himself or herself the Holy Spirit. And so we ought to live that way. And so we see the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Go back to verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Here I am with you. These things, what are these things? These things are all of those things that Jesus has spoken to them while being with them. While he's on the earth, everything he said to them. And they're used to having him present. In contrast, the Holy Spirit will have a ministry of remaining not only with them, but get this, but in them. Look at verse 23, the last part. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He's talking about the man who loves him, keeps his words. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. And then you get to verse 26 again, and it says, but the Comforter. That word comforter is a word that I referenced this morning. Paraclete, one who comes alongside. Comforter, consoler, encourager. That's who the Holy Spirit is. But in verse 17, he's called the Spirit of Truth. And here again in verse 26, he's not only called the Comforter, it says, which is the Holy Ghost, or literally the Holy Spirit. What's the adjective to Spirit? Holy. Holy because he possesses the same attribute as God and works to develop that holiness in the lives of those he indwells. And Jesus is using the future tense, whom the Father will send in my name. By the use of that future tense, Jesus promises his presence. So let's see this from his perspective. Okay? Let's look at a couple of things here. Number one, the Father shall send. The Father shall send. Now, the sending of the Holy Spirit is an act of both the Father and the Son. Here in John 14, 26, it says, the Father will sin. But would you look at chapter 15 and verse 26? Who sins there? But the Comforter, but when the Comforter has come, whom? Who's speaking? So Jesus in verse 15, 26 says that he will send him. Look at chapter 16, the last part of verse 7. But if I depart, who will send him unto you? I, Jesus, speaking again. And so this is Jesus who sends the Holy Spirit. God the Father sends the Holy Spirit. Thus, the sending of the Holy Spirit is ascribed to both the Father and the Son because they're one. In my name, whom the Father will send in my name. That is significant because he is given to you so that the focus is not on the Holy Spirit, but on Jesus Christ. That is significant because today you've got this whole group of people who are focused on the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do for me, speak in tongues, heal, blah, 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 when the focus, Jesus said, is he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall say, he will say it of me, John chapter 16. He will speak of me, and here, whom the Father will send in my name. God sends the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. He will be sent by Jesus' request. Go back to Luke 24, 49. And please do be turners of the scriptures. Please do be those who compare scripture with scripture. Luke 24, 49. Just before Jesus ascends into heaven, he says this, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Here's the promise that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them. And you know about the day of Pentecost. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:23. And here's what he said. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, referring to Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. What were people seeing and hearing? They were seeing the Holy Spirit as he had come upon a multitude of believers. And I believe when Jesus was saying, it is advantageous for you that I go away, because Jesus in human flesh can only be in one place at one time. Now we know he's omnipresent, but you're not going to have Jesus of Nazareth, in the city of Nazareth, and in Jerusalem while he's walking on this earth, and in Bethlehem all at the same time. But listen, folks, when he sends his Holy Spirit, listen, he can be in Nazareth, Jerusalem, and Bethlehem all at the same time. Do you see that? It is advantageous for you that I go away. And it's advantageous for the spreading of the gospel. And so each of us have a responsibility as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the fact that the Holy Spirit is sent in Jesus' name means that he is Jesus' emissary, not simply his substitute. Jesus came in his Father's name as his emissary. John 5:43 says this, I am come in my Father's name. What is an emissary? An emissary is an agent sent on a mission to advance the interests of another. Jesus Christ came to advance the interests of God the Father. The Holy Spirit came to advance the interests of God the Son. And so the Father shall send. That's the first thing we need to understand in this verse about the Holy Spirit. The Father shall send him. Number two, why is Jesus sending him? What is the mission of the Holy Spirit? Here it is. The Holy Spirit shall teach. Let's read the verse again or quote it out loud with me if you can up to that point. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Let's stop right there. He shall teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit has a mission of teaching because we have a problem with applying. That is a lot of what teaching is. It's not just facts, but what do those facts mean to you as a student? When you memorize the multiplication tables in school, what good did it do you? Until you're ready to renovate your house. And all of a sudden, you got to think, okay, now, this room is 5 feet by 8 feet. I didn't think of these numbers ahead of time. That's a pretty small room. But this room is, let's just say it's 10 by 10. How many square feet is that? 100 square. Oh, boy, now this is the application of those multiplication tables. Now this means something to me. And that's what teaching is. He shall teach you all things. It's the application. Some things Jesus purposely did not teach. Why? Look at John 16, 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but... Why didn't he say them? At that time, you couldn't bear them. You couldn't handle them. He shall teach you all things... And at the end of the verse, it says, whatsoever I have said unto you. What Jesus taught, the Holy Spirit will teach. He's the resident teacher. Have you learned anything from the Holy Spirit lately? He teaches, whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, how do I know what Jesus said? How do I know? Can anybody show me what Jesus said? Can you show me, anybody? Would you lift it up with me? He has shown you what he said. So, have you learned anything from the Holy Spirit lately? If you are not reading God's word, you are not allowing him to teach you. It's the same doctrine as that of Jesus himself in all things. All things. No disciple could say, I know what Jesus taught, but the Holy Spirit is teaching me something else. No disciple can say that. And the reason I say that is because I've heard people say that. I know what the Bible says, but God is teaching me something else. That is not God. That's the demon who spoke to Muhammad. That's the demon who spoke to Joseph Smith, who is teaching you something else. And you better be careful. Some people say, I've got a new revelation. Well, this week, I think it's this week that I think you're going to be memorizing Deuteronomy 4:2. Is that correct? Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Don't you dare add to it, and don't you dare take away from the word of God. It's important for the doctrine of inspiration when we realize that the Holy Spirit shall teach. The epistles. What are the epistles? Do any of the kids know what the epistles are? What is an epistle? What's another word for epistle? It's not apostle. It's letter. It's a letter that somebody writes. And the letters that are written in the New Testament. Can one of you kids tell me what, name one of the epistles or one of the letters, let's say, of Paul? Any child, speak up. Name me a letter that Paul wrote. Romans, good. Can somebody give me a letter that Peter wrote? Haven't you ever heard of 1 and 2 Peter? Now, here comes a question. Now that you've got that one, what about a letter that John wrote? What was that, Blake? Very good. 1, 2, and 3 John. Okay, so you've got those letters that they wrote. All right, so when you think about these epistles, they reflect the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so it is wrong, folks, to elevate the red letters in the New Testament above all the rest of Scripture. There is that group of so-called Christians who say, well, I'm a red letter Christian. As if we are supposed to take the red letters, the words that Jesus spoke, and elevate those above anything else that's said in the Bible. No, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the epistles are inspired by the Holy Spirit as much as what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as much as what they recorded about what Jesus said. Why? He shall teach you all things. Elevating the words of Jesus above the elevating the words of Jesus above the word, the entire Bible of Jesus, is to disobey the words of Jesus. Does that make sense? We have a problem of applying. That's why he shall teach you all things. But secondly, we have a problem of something else. We have a problem of remembering. Anybody here have a problem with memory? Kathy, come on. Oh, okay, she didn't raise her hand. Okay. I've got a problem remembering. I mean, the other day, I put my keys, and I said, okay, I've got to remember I put my keys here. Hour later, I'm looking for my keys all over the house. I cannot find them, and I've got to get somewhere. And then I almost stumbled upon them. I was like, oh. I told myself I wasn't going to forget. I've got a problem remembering. Okay? And I know you're saying I'm getting old. I know. But you are too. He shall teach all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Wow, what a blessing. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. Again, the Holy Spirit is a person, for no abstract influence can teach you something or remind you of something. The Holy Spirit has a mission of reminding because we have a problem with remembering. My Franklin planner is my reminder. I rely heavily upon it. I have a tickler file. I've described to you what a tickler file is. Does anybody not know what a tickler file is? Okay, let me explain what a tickler file is. You've got 12 folders, each one representing each month. Then you've got 31 other folders representing, what do you think? The days in each month. As I look forward to next December, I've got a December folder. So if there's something I need to remember in December, I file it in December. But if there's something I need to remember on the 28th of this month, if you go in my office and look at my 28th folder that says number 28 on it, in that is anything I need to have for the 28th of March. And so they call it a tickler file because you see it and you go, oh, that tickled my memory. I needed to be tickled. I forgot, but I'm so glad I put that in there. And so every week I've got in my tickler a little note to myself that says, send verse to Bryce and Kylie. You see, Bryce and Kylie are part of our memory program, and they're memorizing in Portugal. Okay? So every week when I print up the forms that I give you on Sunday, I email to Bryce and Kylie their sheet. And then they email me and say, here's how many we missed this week. Kylie hasn't missed any. She is word perfect up to this point. We'll talk about Bryce, but no, I'm just kidding. Bryce too, they both have A's. Every verse they're memorizing. But what I'm getting at is that tickles my memory. 1 week, I didn't open that folder. And come Monday, oh, I forgot. Why? Because I didn't go to my tickler file. So it's my practice before I start any work each day, I go to that tickler file, pull it out, and put it on my desk. I know this has got to be done today. Now, please don't give me anything else to do because I've already got a stack. But that's what a tickler. I need a reminder. You need a reminder, folks. Our weakness then is recall or remembering that which at one time you knew. You can't remind yourself of something you never knew. So a reminder is telling yourself something that at one time you knew. Listen, how often have you read God's word, were blessed by it, and then forgot it? And yet, because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you were reminded of it when you needed it. Has that ever happened to anyone other than me? I've memorized a verse maybe 20 years ago. And then I'm talking to somebody. And I recall a verse that I memorized 20 years ago. And at the end, when I'm thinking back, how did I do? I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit prompted me. He reminded me of something I had studied 20 years ago. My prayer while reading Scripture is to have recall of other Scriptures that shed light on the Scripture before me. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. As you read through your Bibles, you say, I've only read through my Bible once. Good, that's a good start. Now, as you read through it again, you've already read other passages, ask the Lord to show you from other passages anything that sheds light on this passage. And then you read through it twice. How many times you've read through your Bible, and you may have read through your Bible 10 times, you go, I'm still learning. Yeah, because the more I read my Bible, the more I see that this passage sheds light on this passage, and I never knew it. I didn't remember that before, but now I see it. And I've read through my Bible, I don't know, I think 35 or 40 times. So I'm still being reminded of things that I read years ago. So what will the Holy Spirit bring to remembrance? According to John 14, 26, whatsoever I have said unto you. Folks, some believers get messed up in their doctrine because they listen more to whatsoever their friends said to them. Friends who have an axe to grind, friends whose doctrine of God, their doctrine of the church, is based upon some personal experience. You had to have listened or studied what was said in the first place. And this is what I'm trying to pound into you. You had to have listened or studied what was said in the first place. There's this phrase that Jesus constantly used. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In fact, at one point, Jesus even said what we see in Luke 9:44. Would you go there with me? Luke 9:44. Where Jesus is predicting his death, and he says, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Let this sink down. Then look at verse 45. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Here he is saying, now let this sink in, like your mom used to say, let this sink in, Junior. And Jesus is telling you, I want you to let this sink in. What is going to happen to me? Now, I am using that passage to be an encouragement to you. You know why? Don't be discouraged if you can't understand everything in a sermon. Don't be discouraged when you read your Bible if you don't understand everything you see. When you're having devotions. But here's what you need to do. Write out some study notes. Take note. When you hear a sermon like tonight, take notes. Write things out. Study hard. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has a ministry of reminding you. But he does not remind lazy people who have not first listened. Do you get that? He's not going to remind you if you didn't do what you could do in studying and memorizing. The Holy Spirit is not going to bring to mind a verse that you have not memorized. Unless you've heard it many, many, many times and you have, in a sense, memorized it. That's why when you hear of somebody who's able to witness to somebody, you say, wow, I wish I could witness like he does. I tell you what, if you memorize like he does, you could memorize, if you memorize like he does, you could witness like he does. A believer can plead for the reminding of the Holy Spirit on sleepless nights, when you're sick, when you're witnessing, when you're counseling, when you're teaching Sunday school, etc. But it has to be something you've studied. The disciples failed to understand everything about Jesus during his ministry with him. He had spoken many, many things while he was with them. You're back in John 14, look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present. I have said so many things to you. Were those things lost and forgotten when he departed? Because we have finite minds. Did all of his teaching just go down the drain? No, because he has this special thing to tell them. The Holy Spirit will have the mission of reminding you of the truth. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. Look at Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Matthew 16, 21 to 23. We memorized 16, 18. And it's after Peter made his confession that Jesus says this in Matthew 16, 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And then at a later date, he says what he says in Luke 18. Go to Luke 18. Notice verses 31 to 34. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Note verse 34, And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. What Jesus had said will mean more when the events take place as he said they would ahead of time. With those two passages in mind, go back to John 14 and look at verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. The Holy Spirit would remind them that it was what Jesus had said. How could John remember the events that are recorded in the Gospel of John? Jesus walked upon the earth, let's just say around 30 AD. Does anybody remember when the Gospel of John was written approximately? Brother Larry? 90. Right around 90. How many years after 30 AD is 90 AD? I'm not even 60 years old and I can't remember anything. But think about that. 60 years. People go, John couldn't remember that stuff. How could John remember what Jesus said? I'll tell you how. He remembered what Jesus said because the Holy Spirit reminded him what Jesus said. He remembered that Jesus said, but the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. That's how. 60 years later, John writes this. John wrote this in John 2, 22. I'll just read it to you. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Well, who reminded them? John 12, 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. Oh, now we remember. Oh, I am so smart. I remembered. No? Who reminded you? In both examples, I just gave John 2:22 and John 12:16, their memories are tied to what is written, the scriptures. Peter, in Acts 11, 16, is explaining how the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, and he says this, Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. How did he remember? Holy Spirit. The disciples would recall what Jesus said, so that when they recorded them as scripture, the words would be perfect and error-free. It is a promise of divine inspiration. Men like to explain away the similarities between the Gospels. They say that the writers copied from each other. That when you read the book of Mark, it's almost like reading the book of Matthew in many cases. But Matthew has how many chapters and Mark has how many chapters? Matthew has 28, Mark has 16. Well, obviously, Mark borrowed from Matthew, correct? And then you've got Luke. Who did Luke borrow from? And see, they're all borrowing from each other, right? And when I used to teach the Gospels class and I would teach these college students, I would say, oh, wait a second. They had somebody reminding them and telling them what they were supposed to say and what they're supposed to write. I'll tell you how. You've got these synoptic Gospels, the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And why they seem to say the same thing, but from a different angle, because the Holy Spirit used that man's personality, his background, and everything about his life, and even used the way he spoke and the way he wrote. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write down exactly what he wrote down, and that's why you see no contradiction between any one of the three. They didn't have to borrow from each other. They have one teacher. All were reminded by the same person what to write. Why? Remember when we were talking about some of the Gospels and I would say, who wrote, who is the author of Matthew? And you would say, Matthew. I would say, no, it's the Holy Spirit. And then I would say, well, who wrote Mark then? Well, Mark wrote it, but who's the author? Holy Spirit. Both are. It's just that God used that particular man. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. You can just listen as I read these. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As they were moved, literally born up, by what the Holy Spirit had them to say. David said this in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So David is saying that when he wrote the book of the Psalms that he wrote, that was of the Holy Spirit. What a great memory. No, what a great reminder. And yet it is stated each time that the individual remembered, not that the Holy Spirit reminded. Why? Because the believer is still expected to exercise his memory. You see, you've heard this said before, God will not do for you what you won't do for yourself. Lord, I would sure like some bacon and eggs this morning. Then get up and make it. Well, no, Lord, I thought you would do that for me. No, you can do it, so do it. Lord, teach me thy word. And then you don't even open your Bible. No. Open your Bible, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, folks, let's become students of God's word. Why? Because we know of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and his work of inspiration. And that as I get to know his word, and as I memorize his word, he says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, his work of inspiration.